Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on the companies we mention. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Monday Upbeat Markets with me, Graham Dixon.
Me, Kevin Hornsby.
Me, Charles Archer.
And me, Justin Pitchford.
Okay, guys, so today we're going to do an overview of all the stocks that we picked at the end of 2025. Give you an overview of how they're performing collectively and also individually. So collectively, the stocks are up 52.1%. We've had some standout performances with, we've got one six bagger, which is Delta Gold. We've got one bagger, which is Extract Resources. And then a few that have done very well, which is Energy Pathways, Bazant, Guardian Metal, Greatland Resources, they're all the ones that are up. And then we then move down. But we will cover them all off over the next two podcasts. So let's go into the first one, Justin.
Right, the first one today, we're going to go through a few charts. And the first one we've got is Active Energy Group, AEG. And this one here, if I just look at my chart, I don't have a blue box entry. I mean, it's been in a terrible decline for a long, long time, sort of basing around, I suppose, down, you know, sort of 0.1p at the moment, isn't it? But, for me, all I can say here is that, you know, as long as we stay above this sort of 0.06 level, say, and we can go and break and hold above 0.16, that's going to bring us into this red box zone here at 0.20 up to 0.235. So there's a potential bagger there, isn't there? So it's not one that I've followed just recently. But a longer term target, there is a huge target there. So I'll be interested to hear what the fundamentals are. But there is a huge target there of 0.816 and possibly basically a penny, isn't it? So, possible 10 bagger. There you go.
No possiblys, Justin, that's for sure. Active Energy is basically... I think the chart that you're showing wasn't Active Energy. It was the other company that was before it, which includes lots of other stuff that didn't work out. They're now doing basically electricity connections, effectively. It's like a utility play in Dubai. They've signed up in Saudi Arabia and in Bahrain. It looks like it's going to happen as well. It's all about rollout and megawatts. And that's basically it. And I think 10 bag could be very little over the next 1, 2, 3 years. What's your thoughts, Charles?
I mean, the management were talking about, you know, potential $7 million annual revenue when fully utilized, their UAE growth strategy. Which I think is you know, doable. It's not massively ambitious. But the other important thing is they signed a non-binding letter of intent with Bitdeer Middle East, right? And that's, you know, even though it's non-binding, that's a really, really strong sign. So we shall see. But these expansion plays as well into Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, and the fact they still have the legacy businesses, it's something worth keeping an eye on, definitely for a speculative play.
It's definitely one of my, it was one of my picks. I think currently we are looking at being up 12.5% from the original pick. It's been much higher. It's been a 0.12, 0.13. I think you see there's a little spike there on the graph. Let's watch this space for that one and see where we go. And that is the...
Yeah, do you know, I'll just say on there is that, you know, just looking at that chart, historically it's had massive spikes. You know, it's gone from 0.2 all the way up to... basically 0.8p, so it's four bagged in a day, hasn't it, almost? So you know it is one of those really spiky stocks, so it must be tightly held, fairly low market cap, one would suspect. It's not one I've actually looked at, so
yeah, would be low market cap. And sorry, just to explain, we're going to do 3 minutes on each one, so once you hear the timer, it's finished, we're moving to the next one.
So the next one is Ajax Resources, and this one here, Aquis listed. And do you know what? I've got that here. To me, this is a really nice chart. It's really nice because basically I've run this through this before. We've had one wave to the upside. We have the corrective phase now. We're in this blue box reversal zone down here at 5.8 all the way down to 3.68. And I'm expecting another wave to the upside. I think it was recently capitalized, so that's really good. And where do I think that's heading? Well, all it needs to do is break and hold above sort of 10.25. If it can do that, it's going to go into that red box over here at 13.1. possibly 15.56 and even 18.68. So potentially four or more bags in Ajax, isn't there? So, from a charting perspective, that looks like a really good entry. So,
currently down about 40% from when we picked it at 7p roughly. But yeah, go Charles.
Yeah, no, I think I'm just not stressed out about it, you know. Like, ultimately, the fundamentals haven't changed. Somebody has been selling, whether that selling is over or not. The share price now seems to have found a floor. So I'm hoping we move up now. But ultimately, all of those fundamentals that were in place previously, they're still there. And then we also have the Revel IPO, in which Ajax will be a major shareholder, coming this week. And that's Italian uranium play, which I think that IPO will go hot out of the gate and will help create a catalyst for Ajax off the back of that and send it upwards. So we shall see. But I think, you know, with all of these companies, if you're going to invest in this stuff, which is quite high risk, you need to be able to ride the roller coaster, not just when it's sort of shooting up, but also when it's come back down, and accept that, you know, if you're down 40%, it's kind of a bit normal, because if you want to go up 100%, you just got to accept that's going to happen from time to time.
Do you know what I always say? That you haven't experienced small caps unless you're 30 or 40% down. You know, quite often I'm 30% down. That's just the way it is. You can't get the bottom all the time. And, you know, once you've taken the spread into account and whatever, yeah, it's quite often you're 30-40% down. But that can change in just one RNS. Everything can change. So,
you haven't actually experienced small caps unless you've had a total wipeout. down to zero. It's the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
I'm very, very confident in Ajax. All the things that are on the game are still there. They're being supported, I think, by Appian as well, who are now a shareholder, which is a multi-billion pound company in terms of the resource space. I think, as Charles said, Revali, or however you pronounce it, is going to do well. And there is our stop. Let's go to the next one.
Next one is Defence Holdings, ALRT. And this one here, I think we covered this one off just recently, but, it did a placing, didn't it? It sort of had a bit of a rise up there. It's in a long-term sort of blue box reversal zone down here at 1.2 down to 0.5p. And it's now keeping its head above the top of my blue box. That's where you want it to be. And my first point of call here would be, get rid of that there, is a ride up from here, break this prior high at 1.75, basically. That's going to bring you up to 2.155, possibly 2.5, and up to 3p, basically. But as a long-term play, I think that, you know, if it can go up and sort of break and a hold above 4p, that's going to bring you up to this red box zone up here at 5.66 and possibly 6.95 and maybe a bit higher. But, let's see how we go as that sort of move unfolds. But, yeah, it does look pretty good to me, that one.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is a company I'm going to back all the way, however many years it takes. It's worth bearing in mind, you know, the UK has minted 18 unicorns, so private billion-pound companies in 2026. You know, we had no defence unicorns until this year. Now we've got three of them. You're sitting at the intersection of sovereign AI and defence. Yes, they did that placing. Now they've got a bit of cash in the bank. I interviewed the CTO, Andy McCartney, today. This is the guy who was, you know, at Microsoft Ventures beforehand. People in the small cap space just, you know, I think a lot of them don't understand just how big this is eventually going to become. You know, just give it a few years and all of the kind of small cappy stuff that we talk about, you know, the dilution and the stress and the placings, it'll just melt away and you'll just end up with a massive, massive company. We shall see. But
you know. I think also the fact that they've actually won a first contract with the Ministry of Defence, now they've broken the back of that. I think that's will hopefully now lead a lot more orders coming from them.
Well, it's no more, isn't it, Graham? You know, the second you getting a contract with the MOD is you know, for a company that's less than a year old, is ridiculously quick in terms of defense procurement. Now, if that contract becomes an annual recurring contract, you know, 2.5 months from now, then you're looking at close to £1 million in annual recurring revenue. That's from one contract. You've got multiple products in development seeking multiple contracts. And the new CEO, Andrew Rohan, is just so competent. It's just really pleasant to watch it. But again, we shall see.
Yeah. And also they've suspended the ATM, which I think is also going to help. At least indeed, it's going to help sentiment towards the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, guys. So currently about 5% down from when we picked it. Okay, Justin, that's the time up. Let's go again.
Yeah, BZT is the next one, Byzant Resources. And this one here, it's done really well, hasn't it, that one? It's sort of been in a long-term reversal zone down there at 0.06. It's now gone all the way up to, basically 0.18p, hasn't it? So it's double bagged from down there. I actually had that as a reversal zone at 0.06. And, you know, my first point of call here is 0.1875 up to 0.222, where I think that that's, you know, I don't think that this move here is done yet. And I think that we're going to go into there. So where I think you're going to see another shoot up to there, a bit more consolidation as we've just seen just recently. And then my next point of call would be this red box up here, which would be 0.271, 0.34, and possibly 0.428. So that's where I see that one going sort of over the short, medium term.
Yeah, I mean, I did the fundamentals on this one. This is one I bought right at the very, very bottom a couple of years ago. I've done some pretty decent technical analysis on it. And I say technical as in not charting technicals, actual technicals. I think the first couple of years of net profit, given the tax shield that they have, the fact they now own 90% and they have the processing plant, you're looking around $80 million in profit across 2 years. Now, you compare that to the market cap, it's ridiculous. The profit, the payback time is insane. And you're looking at production starting within the next couple of months. So for me, it's just a pure play bet on the fundamentals. And I think where it will re-rate or go to those targets, Justin, it's going to be, I'm trying to think of the words, Hartree, their offtake partner, and who's also helping finance the mine. They pay at gate. So once you get their copper production, they'll produce it. And in the first month, you get revenue. And then the revenue increases month after month after month. It'll just move up and re-rate, which is going to be super fun. For me, personally, I'm in it to win it. If this stock does what I think it's going to do, then we've got a lot further to go.
Yeah, do you know? I'll just say as well, I have got a bigger red box there.
That looks much more.
If we can break and hold above 0.4, then you're going to go to sort of 0.526 and 0.664, possibly higher than that. So, the thing with the mining stocks, they are heavily traded. So it's going to be a bumpy ride. You're going to move up, consolidate, move up, consolidate. That's just the way it goes. There's various steps on the way to, and one to suspect if they're going into production, this 0.526, 0.664, potentially an awful lot higher than that. So, there's an awful lot to play for as an investor.
Just a quick recap before our time finishes. It's up 75% since we picked it. And, I think a lot of people have got half a pence target, maybe even a penny target in terms of 1-2 years down the line. Let's see where it goes. Okay, Justin, next one.
DGQ is my next one, Delta Gold Technologies. And this one here is, we covered this one off just recently, didn't we? To me, another absolutely fantastic chart. It's had an absolutely amazing IPO, hasn't it? It's gone from 10p all the way up to 215. That's just astonishing, isn't it? All we're seeing now is just it's just a typical correction. So a few people take it to profits, and I think that we'll consolidate around this level here. So I think we'll see another push up, hopefully towards a sort of 200p level. We'll see a bit more consolidation back, and then once we go and break this prior high at sort of 212p, we're going to shoot all the way up to the next target, which is 320 up to 376 and possibly 447, maybe higher. But, you know, that's where I think that's what headed. So there's potentially an awful lot more bags in DGQ, and especially for those who got in, you know, much lower. So, yeah, potentially, as I say, it's a fantastic shot.
Yeah, is this another, the small cap market needs to realize that there are some big players in the small cap market? I mean, Charles mentioned Alert. I think this is another one of those plays. This is, you know, currently valued at about, I think, £75 million. It's a little bit more than that now that it's about 1.5, isn't it? So yeah, maybe more like £85-90 million. The reality is that these companies in the US are all valued in the billions, you know, and they've got patents from both Penn State and one pending in Toronto University. Fully expect a UK university is going to come on site shortly. They only need, as we interviewed Michael, they only need to be opening a door that some of these big boys think this potentially could be the answer. And it'll be worth 10 times what it is today. So I think people have got to get their minds out of the equation that, yeah, if you were in the IPO, you've made a killing. But there's another killing to be made at the very least, as far as I can see. And so far, yeah, just to brag, it's up 623%. And yes, it was my pick. Charles, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, I'm bullish on this one. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to the quality of the researchers in Toronto and Penn State. You know, these are tier one institutions. And the gold nanocluster approach to, you know, scaling a quantum qubit is something that nobody else has ever tried or done before. And the key point to understand is that if you've got the major Mag 7 companies investing billions and billions and billions trying to build a quantum computer, and then you have one company with one approach that is different to everything that they're doing, then ultimately, if those when those patents get granted, there will, I'm not saying they'll have to, but the risk is that if you're not first to get hold of that technology, then you're going to run into trouble. So yeah,
yep, that's the 3 minutes up. Go.
Yeah, right. Next one is EPP, Energy Pathways, and if you get that one up. This one here, you know, I'm very happy with that one because I've called that really well. You know, from lows to highs, which is great. But you know, it's sort of in a downtrend. It's not been nice enough in its corrective phase so far to give a blue box entry for a reversal. But obviously, yeah, there's a lot of positive vibes out the company, isn't there? But, you know, for me, what this needs to do now is go up, break this prior high, sort of break and hold above 12 and a quarter pence. And then we're going to activate that red box there at 17.4, 20.5, and possibly 24.4 pence. So another one, which is, you know, potential four bags, isn't there, in that? So, you know, potentially an awful lot of reward, you know. It just needs to get the momentum behind it to push it back up and break that high.
The great news is that they got the NSTA approval for its gas licenses. You know, they also are going to be looking at some CMAS for up to 60 large salt storage caverns comprising of compressed air storage, natural gas storage, hydrogen storage. Now, for me, I mean, the management must be extremely frustrated with the way that the stock's performing, but that's primarily down to the fact that they had the ATM facility. I suspect they need the ATM facility in order to convince the NSTA that they had the wherewithal financially to go ahead and work with this project. But that also is becoming a sort of a hindrance on the stock. And I think, you know, the lower the price goes, the more the concerns are that they're going to have to, you know, whenever they do another drawdown, they're going to have a low reference price, etc. So that said, the lower the price goes, the management must be going, you know, we need to do something here, management buyout, or something like Centrica, Southern Energy come in and buy the company out. So I suspect, you know, the lower the price goes, the something will happen with the company as a...
Yeah, I think, you know, when I look at it, I actually interviewed Ben a week or so ago. And I think the key thing is, we need natural gas storage. We need compressed air energy storage, right? the hydrogen and graphite production are kind of like they're nice add-ons, but we need more gas storage and air energy storage. You're wasting billions and billions of pounds of wind energy. And you look at our sort of 7 or 8 days of gas storage versus sort of 3 months of European average. This is something that we need, and it's better than Rough, which is Centrica's flagship, which doesn't work without government support. So ultimately, I think the financing deal that was done, there are trade-offs that might be, you know, shaking people out a little bit. And also, this is a long-term story. But the potential here is massive, and hopefully bigger pockets will recognize that shortly.
Okay, there's the alarm, guys. It's up 75%. Go to the next one, Justin.
Yeah, GGP is the next one, Greatland Resources. And this one here, I do actually have a blue box reversal zone. So I've got that down here at 553 down to 497 pence. And, you know, it's been on an absolutely, amazing run from wherever it was down here. You know, this was one that I called it. I think originally in the old money, it was 5p for reversal play. And, I did call that spot on many years ago. I still think there's another leg to the upside in GGP. Likewise, I think there's another leg in gold. I don't think all is lost at the moment. And I can see this one taking another push to the upside. And my blue box here would be 864, then 1072 and 1337. So a potential bagger in GGP. And just a nice looking chart.
Yeah, I mean, GGP has obviously did incredibly well since they bought out the farm. But I always have done, and you know, since those days, compared it to Genesis Minerals, which is the closest competitor on the ASX, and they're roughly valued around the same price now. But GGP's investment case in terms of what they have, what they're generating, what their future cash flow is going to be, it blows Genesis out of the water. And what I find quite funny is that when I say that, you know, this is not an attack on Genesis. Genesis is fairly valued. It just means that GGP isn't. So I reckon we will see in, you know, in the next, when gold starts to recover, you know, it's hard to know where gold will go. But I just, you know, every major bank in the world is long-term bullish on gold. I see a world where GDP, you know, goes much, much higher from where we are now. And I, you know, somewhere around £10 a share, I think it's probably roughly fair at the moment. But we will see.
Yeah, and the joke is that how profitable is it even at $4,000 gold? I mean, it's crazy. If we'd all said $4,000 gold a year ago or a year and a half ago, everyone would have been jumping up and down and hooping. So the reality of the situation is, I think they are a ATM machine at the minute, as in printing cash. They're just literally printing cash. Havieron is going to probably be completed debt free. Based on the finances that they've incorporated. And it's been much higher since we picked it, but currently about 25% up since our pick. And that's the end of the 3 minutes. Go for it.
Yeah, right. Next one is GMET. So Guardian Metal Resources. And just get that one up. Now, this one here is, this is a tricky one to call. You know, it's one that's done absolutely fantastically well, and another one that I called a 22p, but for reversal. But I personally, basically, what it needs to do is got to hold above 185 pence. If it falls below 185 pence, you're going to get an absolutely astonishing entry down here, I think, at 153 down to 120p. But from there, we should get another bounce to the upside. It needs to go up, break this prior high of 306, and it's going to give you 338 up to 337, maybe higher than that. So, but you know, it doesn't have to fall down to that red box there. It could just, stay as it is. And, as I say, keep above that 186 level, and you're going to see, 330 up to sort of £4 area. So, potentially quite a lot of reward in GMET as well, still from where it is.
So, both. Charles initially from the IPO, and I was just after the IPO at about 8p, 7.5, 8p. We've followed this story. I think that £3 had got a little bit ahead of itself. But PFS came out this week for Pilot Mountain. I think people were not very happy with the numbers. I think just a bit lower than they thought, but that's really because of the numbers that were used in the PFS rather than the reality of what will happen. I'm expecting big grants from the US government, the Department of War, for both Pilot Mountain and also Ten Paiute, which is their other project, which should be the first to production, if you like, because they've got a huge tailings there. If that happens, then I think even your top target could be blown out of the water, because I think they could get a couple of $100 million at least of free money, basically, from the government.
Yeah, I would say the Pilot Mountain PFS, you got to feel like all of these copycat tungsten plays coming to the market. Obviously, they have value, but GMET is just further ahead than everybody else. And the US wants domestic tungsten production. So you can't value it as you would any other asset. You're valuing it as a geopolitical asset. And, you know, Pilot Mountain, Reuters was reporting, you know, Reuters reported that they're going after over $100 million for Pilot Mountain alone in grant funding. Ten Paiute, the stockpiles they have there from almost a century of mining, those tailings that they have alone, that's what they can get into production as quickly as possible. That's what the US wants. So we shall see, but you know, I think we'll see new highs before the year is out. So yeah, game on.
Yeah, HAYD is the next one. Haydale PLC, and this one is an interesting chart. You know, it's had sort of one wave to the upside. I had a blue box reversal zone down here at 0.486 down to 0.366. It's fallen out below that. It's tried to get back in the box and failed. What I want to see from here is an attack back at the 0.366, and then go up and sort of attack then a 0.486 and break and hold above that. It should then sort of steady the ship and give us hopefully an attack then at breaking this prior high at break and hold above 0.9, basically. That's going to bring you up to attack 1.07, 1.3, basically, and possibly 1.5. So potentially an awful lot of bags. I mean, just the bottom of that bag, the box there is, three bags, isn't it? So over three bags. So, you know, it's all to play for that one. So just down to the fundamentals.
Okay, that was my one. So this company, they made an acquisition of Saving Money Carbon Credits, I think it was called. And that's one that's bringing quite a lot of the revenue. So I think they're on track as a combined entity about £8 million for revenue for this current financial year, and they should be actually profitable for the first time in its listed existence. The thing that I find really interesting is that the SMCT acquisition, if they cross sell with Just Heat, which is the one where they attach the graphene ink to your floorboards, it literally saves massive amounts of money compared to underfloor heating, and it also saves on carbon emissions. So you're one of those genuine win-win. And I can just see social health using this. I can see house builders using this. I can see people retrofitting their lounges, their bedrooms with this. So I'm very bullish about this over the medium. Yeah.
Well, I think you know, having now fallen, you know, the government's talking about banning underfloor heating because it's so, you know, bad in terms of carbon dioxide emissions. So if you have a solution for that industry, that's something worth thinking about in itself. Now, obviously, in terms of management execution, not being particularly great, and there's no getting away from that, but the UK's National Physical Laboratory independently verified that the HT+ process does change the surface chemistry of nanomaterials. So the actual technology works, and you can't, well, at least it's very difficult to argue with that. So really, what they actually need, you know, they're profitable now, but I think they need a decent chunk of institutional capital to come in. And if they get that, then they'll be away.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, one of my friends actually got the product installed. He says it's absolutely fantastic. So, you know, let's see.
Mm-hmm. So now myself and Justin are going to talk about our new picks for the rest of 2026. And then next week you will hear Graham's and Charles's picks to be added to this group to see how we can get on with the results. I'm hoping we have another 100% year in terms of all the stocks collectively do 100% per, you know, as a group. But let's see. We're going to have a good second half of the year for that to happen. Okay, Justin, go for it.
Yeah, right. So, do you know, this is really difficult because I've got so many stocks that I want to choose from. And so, you know, I've talked about, you know, I've got a lot of holdings that I'm really excited about over the summer period in particular. But I've had to pick one that I think looks really good from a chart perspective and a really good entry now. And that is TYM, Tierra Minerals. And if I bring that up, this one here, it's in a blue box reversal zone. You know, basically, it's a, you know, it's at 0.06p at the moment, which is just above the placing price. They recently raised £1 million at 0.05 pence. So it's sort of just clearing through that placing money. But they are drilling. They're drilling at the moment for silver. And I think there's around 40 holes that they're doing, about 4,000 metres. And we should start to get results from that drilling anytime now. So, you know, this is an African project which they've got. I think that the chart here is going to go, hopefully, up from here, break the top of that blue box there at 0.08. Once we've done that, we can motor on. If we can break and hold above 0.12, we're going to go into this red box zone here at 0.165, 0.2, and possibly 0.23. Now, interesting that the broker is given a target price of 0.26, I think it was, and that's prior to drilling. They've got two JVs with multi-billion dollar companies. There's possibility on news on those been drilling over the you know, the drill season. So there's news on that potentially. Possibility, and it is an outside possibility, but there could be new JVs on their other projects, and they've got a Swedish project which there's probably a sort of 1 or 2% chance of that coming in.
Okay, I met those guys in Daba 2 or 3 years ago. There was a Zambian copper project, so maybe it's moved on a bit since then. But yeah, good luck. Let's go for the next one.
Next one is ATN. There we go. Get that one up. Now, this one's another really good chart, actually. I've got a blue box reversal zone, and it's within it. So that's a blue box down here, 34.4 down to 15.1, currently at 27p. And, you know, it's been in a terrible decline, really, hasn't it, since it's sort of listed back in 2022. But, you know, where I see that going, I think, you know, that's it's subject to fundamentals. They get some good news out. Go and break that 34.4. My first point of call would be 51.5 up to 60p. And then I have got a longer-term target. I've been looking at the chart a bit closer, and I've got a longer-term target there of 119p, possibly 146 and even 180.
180. Well, this was my choice for the rest of this year. I agree with you on the comment I could have chosen. It was a real toss-up between this and Kendrick Resources. I was what shall I do? But then I was looking at the chart of this and I just thought, no, the setup for charting looked very, very good. Listen, from a fundamental point of view, they've now got the trading going in Kigali in Rwanda. We visited that place. They're actually just building a bigger site now so that they can have a bigger courtois for the basically the trading of coltan and what's the other one that they're doing? Anyway, it doesn't matter in terms of the metal, but that is just part of it. And I think that will basically push the price up just because of the fact that it's going to become profitable within the next few quarters in terms of the overall business. The other issue is with Lithosquare, they've got deals for Moroccan assets and Botswana assets for with Lithosquare, which is basically one of these AI companies that are using AI to help target where they should drill, and Lithosquare put their money where their mouth is. Lithosquare raised 25 million US, I think, or maybe even euros recently. They paid 1.5 million for basically an eighth of these or 15% of these assets that are in Ethereum. And then I suppose the final thing would be that HKC, I think it is, or HCK1 has been drilled, and basically they're going to be able to use that now to get the stuff out the ground to then be able to use in their trading business as well. So all in all, very good.
Okay, well, thank you very much for tuning in to Monday Upbeat Markets. And remember, mum's the word.
This podcast was brought to you by Monday Upbeat Markets. If you would like to appear on a future episode of the Mums Podcast, please email mondayupbeatmarkets@gmail.com.